If we've learned anything over the last year, we've learned that there's some things that are more important than others. What is important? What is important? We probably would say or define importance in a variety of ways today. We may overlap, but we more than likely would not say it the exact same way unless we just like somebody else's words better than ours, which is possible. They said it better than I could, so I'm going to... But if we put it exactly into our own words, what is most important? What is most important? Edward, did you hear me? Let me say it again, okay? What is most important? Who else can I call on? Boy, look at that. Immediately heads come up. Edward was already watching me. He was already listening hard. What is most important? I wish that I could explain to you all the thoughts that goes through my mind as I have been preparing this week for this moment. It doesn't only happen to pastors, but it is very, very prominent in a pastor's life that decisions that have been made that the pastor doesn't have anything to do with, has no ability to make a difference in those decisions, but in somebody's life, a decision is made, and the pastor has to stand back and grieve knowing the end of that road. Not because there's a big billboard saying that if you go down this road, there's tragedy or there's problems or there's grief or there's heartache down it. No, there's no big billboard to state that. It's just that we've seen it before. Over and over again. And sometimes counsel has even been asked for and been given and unheeded. And we go down that road. What is most important for 2021? What is most important no matter what year it is? You see, the thing that is most important to us will be the thing that we focus on the most. It'll be the thing that we focus on the most. What are you focusing on the most? I challenge you this morning. I don't think it's too hard for you to understand that my point in bringing this up is to emphasize that the most important thing should be in our lives. The most important thing in our lives should be that we are ready to go when our last breath is taken. We've seen, or at least we've heard, of a lot of deaths in the last year, the last 9 months. But, you know, over a span of a decade, we still have seen a lot of people that are gone. to this day, depending on your relationship with that individual, to this day, no matter how far back it's been, there's still a spot or a point of grief. And it's amazing how different people grieve differently. It is. Grief is a confusing thing sometimes to understand and to figure out. I was talking to somebody, and I have to be careful because I don't want to anyway bring enough information for somebody to figure out who I'm talking about or where I'm talking about, no matter how distant it may be. I don't want anybody to figure out all of those wheels that are jammed into a little cranium. But something was said, a word was given, and I immediately cringed at that word. I have to explain it to you. I've been a parent for 29 years. Kids don't always do what we'd like for them to do, and sometimes, depending on the makeup of the parent, that inner makeup of the parent, sometimes it's easy to react to what a child does with embarrassment rather than sense. Because embarrassment, reaction by embarrassment, will create more problems than what it's worth. Than what you realize. I said, I wasn't going to bring it up. I was thinking it, but I wasn't going to bring it up. But since they brought it up, I went ahead and pounced on it. And I said, oh, be ever so careful that your reactions are not out of embarrassment. I say that because so often we react in such a way. We have good intention, we have good desire, but we're reacting in such a way that it is channeling in a direction that isn't the right direction. I can assure you as a parent, I can assure you fully as a parent and as a grandparent, that there is no greater joy in the entirety of this world than to know that your children walk in truth. That is scripture, and it is truth as I've found it by experience. What is most important this morning? It's a strange passage of Scripture, but in Acts chapter 17, in the King James, it uses the word winked. And that reference is speaking about God looking at something, some form of ignorance or some form of a decision, some way of choosing in life. And it says that he winked at. Another translation said that the times of ignorance God overlooked. Another translation says, therefore, having overlooked the times of ignorance. Now, we have to really spend a little bit of time trying to understand that. And I'm not going to take the time to delve into all that the writer in the book of Acts here is trying to say or has said to bring us to that point. You see, we are under this age and this time when God has provided His Word in detail for us to follow. He is not looking at us and saying, well, they didn't have Genesis. They didn't have Isaiah. They didn't have Malachi. They don't have the Gospels. Or the prison epistles, or the New Testament as a whole. They didn't have that, so they really didn't understand, and they really didn't know, and all of those things that could fall into the category of God looking at their ignorance, looking at the lack of knowledge, looking at them and saying, well, okay. God is a gracious God. God is a merciful God. God is, in His grace and mercy, also just. We don't like justice. We plead for mercy. At least when it's involving us, we plead for mercy. But then when it's involving somebody else that stepped on us, we plead for justice. It's interesting how that works far too many times. Acts 17, verse 30 is the verse that I'm referring to, that God overlooked the times of ignorance. God is now declaring to men that all people everywhere should repent, because He has fixed a day in which He will judge the world in righteousness. And the basis of that judgment is through Jesus Christ and what we do with Him. Somebody said that the word repentance, true repentance, means that a person is so sorry for what they've done that they determine to never, ever do it again. I tried to tell my dad so many times that I was sorry for what I had done. And I can still hear my dad's voice saying, son, if you were really sorry, you wouldn't do it the second time. Or the third, or the fourth, or the fifth. I'm sure that it was frustrating to my parents because of the repeated offense, the same offense, over and over again. Whew. Poor dad and mom. Oh, I'm sorry, Dad. Yeah, what are you sorry for? What about it is sorry? You're sorry because it appears you're sorry because you've gotten caught and there's a consequence to pay. Because if you were really sorry, if you were really repentant of this transaction or this transgression, you won't go and do it again. How many of you, or how many of us have told our kids that? How many times have we told ourselves that? Because He has fixed a day in which He will judge you and me. We probably, the majority of us here today, know that verse in Romans chapter 6, you know, verse 23, that speaks about wages in the King James. Wages. Most of us don't even use that word anymore. We don't talk about wages. We talk about direct deposit. And most of the time we have no concept. People don't really understand that direct deposit is a wage. The wages of sin. The Amplified said, for the wages of which sin pays is death. The wages that sin pays is death. We're not separated from death. We've experienced it repeatedly. One slips from the scene. Sometimes it's earlier than what we anticipate or we're unprepared for it. We knew my father-in-law was getting low, but we really did not expect it to be yet. Thought for sure we still had several days of this coming week. That's not the death that he's talking about, though. The wages. The wages of sin is death. The wages which sin pays is death. That's not the death that he's talking about. Oh, sure, it's because of sin in the garden that we have to experience death the way we experience it now with somebody of our midst, somebody that sat around the table that is gone. That's part of it. But he's referring here to the wages of sin, or the payment for sin, is a death that is far, far greater than what we can think about in this separation in this life. It's a glorious thing to be able to have the confidence of one that is passed on, realizing that it's only their body that is before us, their spirit, their soul is ever present with the living God, and it's rejoicing, and we can someday rejoice with that person. The sad thing is that everybody goes to heaven nowadays. Becoming more and more alarmed with the attitude that everybody goes to heaven, and that everybody that's died in the past, they're in a better place today, and someday I'll see them, even though life is wrecked with sin and darkness. What is most important to you? I would love to be able, as a pastor, to walk down the aisle this morning and look everybody in the eye and ask you to answer that question to me. You say, well, preacher, why don't you do that alone in a private setting? You know, I could, but the answer today in this setting would be different than in that private setting. Because here we have an accountability that goes way beyond just the accountableness to the pastor. What is most important? What do we think about when we hear that verse, the wages of sin is death? We quickly like to go on to the second part, for the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, and we want to rejoice in that, and we want to grab a hold of that, and we want to say that we live by that, when in reality sin still has a stranglehold in the heart, whether it's visible to the outside world or not. But we can see it by decisions that are being made that are leading people down that wrong path. I really did try to find somebody to preach this morning besides me. It's a little difficult to find somebody to fill in down here in the hill country of Martin County, bring somebody in from the outside. With COVID and all that stuff's going on and issues that go along with that, I didn't try hard enough. And perhaps the reason why I didn't try any harder was because this was burdening my heart, because I look around and I see decisions that are being made, that the trajectory of that decision is not going to be good at the end. Again, I wish I could tell you the details of all those wheels that are turning and churning in my brain, in my head today. I don't know if there's much brain left. Poor my wife, in the midst of all that she's had to face in the last week, last half of a week, she had to listen to me rant. Why didn't they listen? Why did they turn their deaf ear to the words of counsel that most often even come straight out of God's Word and the influence of God's Word, and there's no hunger for God's Word? Sometimes we get things so mixed up and we think that these giants, spiritual giants of our day, or the giants that we look at in our own families that are godly and influential to us, and we think, well, there was just some kind of a click somewhere along the line and they became that giant. No, they didn't just because of some snap of a finger became a spiritual giant. They became that spiritual giant because of the intentionality of their lives to follow and pursue and to hunger after the things of God rather than the things of this world, and to pick up the trinkets and the spoil of this world. There's a reason why they did what they did. Oh, it's man-made rules. Yes, it might be man-made rules, but those man-made rules were reflective of God's word. And the emphasis to leave behind those things that are not important for the thing that is most important. You know that I get sick and tired of Facebook. Sometimes I just want to lay it aside, forget about it completely. Sometimes that's the only connection with people and what's going on in their world or in their lives. It's just so much. It's a delight once in a while to see something good, something pure, something wholesome. You know, some of the family pictures, there's a whole bunch of family pictures that have been posted in the last couple of weeks over these holiday times. Glorious. Breath of fresh air. I mean, wow. But I couldn't help but even take it a step further in my thinking when I saw a post of Edwards this week that was encouraging an intentional focus on the things of God, upon God's word. Wow. Edward didn't become the Christian that he is just overnight, but because of the intentional attitude from a youth, from a teenager, he has focused on feeding his heart and mind with God's word. But then when I see somebody else who shuns that, if not turns their back on it completely, and they think that they're going to have a better outcome. You see, it comes down to this very thing, that the wages of sin the wages that sin pays. I don't know why it was a part of my mind and part of me to shun some of the sinful habits and practices that I could have been involved with. I don't know why, but I have learned from somebody else's experience that drugs and alcohol and smoking and all of that stuff did not lead to a good end. Been told by young people, well, I've got to learn by my own mistakes. I'm going to have to make them myself. Brain dead. Simply brain dead to have to make everybody else's mistakes yourself so that you can learn. I know what it is. I know what they're saying. It's so much easier when you learn by the own processes and the working of your own hands. I understand that. So many of us are that way. We can't really learn by the instruction of somebody else. We have to do things. But how hard is it to figure out these things? But that's that road. That road is terrible. What is most important? Have I asked that question enough this morning? What is most important? Let me wrap it up then. the writer of the book of Hebrews tells us that we are compassed about, we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. We are surrounded by a whole bunch of people that give testimony to the answers to our questions. Now, the context of that verse is speaking on the right side, on the Christian side, on the righteous side. But the reality goes beyond that of the righteous side. That reality that we are surrounded by a cloud of witnesses. There are people all around us that can testify to both sides. While we don't want to hear from those that are in the place of torment this evening, of how their choices and their decisions led them to that place, it is a reality. There are people there that could testify, surrounds us with people who could testify that the wages of sin is death. And all that we have to do, it's not difficult. All that we have to do is neglect so great a salvation. That's all. We can just paddle our way aimlessly through life, coasting along without any effort, without any intention. We can sit in church day after day or year after year and never, never understand that the choice and the decision rests solely in my own mind and my own heart. The writer said that we are surrounded by this great cloud of testimony. And the challenge is that we look at ourselves and lay aside every weight, everything that hinders our walk with Christ. Anything that keeps us from knowing Jesus. No matter how important it is to us in our life right now, that we recognize the importance of that moment when we stand before God. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. It goes on to talk about the pain and the suffering and all that was involved. But let me just point you again to Jesus Christ, who gave himself. What is the most important thing? Let me answer that question for you this morning. And that you adopt this answer if you haven't already adopted this answer. The most important thing, the most important thing for any one of us today or any one of us tomorrow is to be ready when he calls for our last breath. When our last breath. You see, every breath we breathe comes from our Heavenly Father. When he calls for our last breath, my father-in-law preached for 40-some years, pastored for 40-some years, basically lived nearly his entire adult life for that one moment when his last breath. My wife was watching him when he took his last breath. The nurse was checking for his heartbeat when it beat for the last time. You see, when we live for that moment, when that moment becomes the most important thing, then there's no last-minute issues. There's no last-minute anxieties. There's no last minute point of concern. What is most important to you? It may be this year that my last breath is called for. Or it could be this year will be your last breath is called for. Is that important? It is. It's the most important thing. Let's stand together. Just in this last little bit, this last moment or two, wasn't prepared to do this or to say this, but the words of a song that come from a scripture passage comes to mind. Almost persuaded. Almost, but lost. Don't delay getting ready. Don't push it off for a more convenient time. Don't point fingers at somebody. The most important thing is for you as an individual to be ready. Jesus spoke about how radical of a decision it was when he said that if something offends us, we are to cut it off. We are to cast it away. Sometimes it takes some major separations from something or somebody or some issue that hinders our walk with Christ. Are you ready? It's the most important thing. Anybody need to pray this morning? Please come. Lauren, would you dismiss us in prayer?